proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, love is a popular topic, isn't it? A lot of songs have been written about it, and a lot of things have been said about it. And I came across something here the other day I enjoyed. It was a survey of kids, 4 to 8 years old. So you know you're going to get some interesting things that kids say. And kids were asked to share their views on love. So here's what these 4 to 8 year old kids had to say about love. One said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at him because you know it would hurt his feelings. Aww. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Some guys don't need to be told that they love their shirts are love, do they? Love is if you hold hands and sit beside each other in the cafeteria. That means you're in love. Otherwise, you can sit across from each other and be okay. I like this one. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redbird. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. And when you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. So little kids' views of love. Now, yesterday was an historic day. If you were watching the news, you know that something was special about yesterday. What was that? Anybody here in the news? Well, yeah, they did reach down to where the miners are, so they should be able to be bringing them out soon in Chile. But yesterday would have been John Lennon's 70th birthday. Imagine that. It would have been his 70th birthday. And you know, he sang a lot about love. He had high ideals. But whenever I think of the Beatles and love and what they sang, I'm reminded of a song by that pioneer of contemporary Christian music, Larry Norman, who said, the Beatles said, all you need is love, and then they broke up. So many songs about love. It's a great concern of people. You know, the scripture says that real love, genuine love, sincere love, is a mark of a transformed life. And if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we've been transformed. We are new creations. And we are being increasingly conformed to the likeness of Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. And one indication of that, one mark of that transformed life is love, genuine, sincere love. So we're going to focus on that today, but first I'd like to remind us of what we've seen so far in these marks of a surrender, of a transformed life. The first mark is surrender. We said that a transformed life is marked by a progressing surrender to God's agenda. When we are new creations in Christ and we are seeking to be increasingly transformed day by day, one of the things that's going to show in our lives is that we desire and surrender to God and to His purposes, His agenda for our lives and not our own. Second mark we saw was renewal. So that a transformed life is marked by renewed thinking. How do we change? Well, the mind is key. How we think and what we think about things. And when our thinking is renewed, it then results in knowledge and understanding of God's agenda for our lives. Do you want to know what God wants to do in your life? Well, then be renewed in your thinking. We're renewed by His Spirit and by His Word. Surrender and renewal. And then last time we saw service, that God has given us gifts and abilities to be used in humble service. So if we are transformed men and women, we will see the use of gifts and abilities in humble service. Today then, this fourth mark of a transformed life is love. We all know about love, at least we think we do. We use the word all the time. But what does the Scripture say about what love really is? A genuine and sincere love. A transformed life is marked by a sincere, devoted love which clings to good and honors others. Scripture has a lot to say about love, but our focus today is on the necessity of its sincerity. The necessity of its sincerity, being real and genuine, being devoted and honoring others, hating evil and clinging to good. This is a mark of a transformed life. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12? Only two verses this morning. Chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read it first in the NIV, which is our usual text, which we use for preaching and teaching, but then we're going to look at some other Bible versions then too. But I'm going to ask that as we read these translations of these two verses, I'd like us to listen very carefully to what it is saying. And I'd like you to ask God to speak to your heart. Because while these different translations are saying the same thing, sometimes the way one puts it or words it, maybe it strikes a chord in you that another one wouldn't have or didn't. And so let's listen carefully to the voice of the Lord this morning. First from the NIV. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Some of you are familiar with a Bible version called the Amplified Bible, which does exactly that. It takes the text and it amplifies it, or it helps further explain ideas and concepts. So let's look at what this says in the Amplified. It says, let your love be sincere. That is a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. There's two more. This next one is from The Message. Now, I use this one carefully, and here's why. Some of you maybe have read some of The Message. Maybe you have one. I like how it takes certain verses or concepts in it. And boy, you talk about bringing it down to earth and putting it in everyday language, you know, than familiar language. It certainly does do that. The problem is sometimes it maybe gets a little carried away with just how down to earth it gets and maybe misses certain concepts that get left out then. So I use it cautiously, and I wouldn't recommend it to you as a primary Bible, certainly, at all. But I do like to look at it and see how it deals with certain verses or passages. And I liked what it said here because I think it really does get down to the heart and the essence of what these two verses are saying to us as followers of Christ. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Now you see what I mean, where it can be very down to earth sometimes. But you know, this is what this verse is getting at. It's what it's saying to us. Love from the center of who you are. Don't be fake. Be real and genuine. Abhor evil, run from it, and hold on, cling to that which is good. Love deeply. Practice playing second. Put others ahead of yourself. And finally, the one is the last one is from the New Living Translation, which I think does a wonderful job of faithfully translating the text into language that's very clear. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. I pray the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning what He would want you to hear from this. In breaking down our text here, I have a couple of this first phrase, this key phrase here, is that love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. What is sincere? Well, it's genuine. The real deal. The real thing. You know, the original language of the New Testament, most of it is Greek. And this word, which is translated Greek here, is anhypokritos. Anhypokritos. An means without. An without. Hypokritos. Hypokritos. Did you hear anything familiar? You hear a familiar sounding word in there? What word are you hearing in there? Hypocrite. Or hypocrisy. So this word, sincere, literally means without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite in love, with your love. Literally, let your love be without hypocrisy. Now this word hypocrisy has an interesting history behind it. Maybe some of you have heard this before. This word hypocrisy literally comes from the realm of the Greek theater. When you would put on a stage or a performance on the stage, and you would play act, you would assume a part or a role. You were a hypocrite. That is, you were playing a role, an act. Now, that it didn't have a negative connotation. That it simply meant that the way you would someone who's taking on a character in a movie or a television show or a live theater performance, you are being engaging in hypocrisy. That is play acting, taking on a role. That's its origin. But when we bring that into our lives, it means something quite different then, isn't it? Playing a role or taking on a character, play acting. Pretending to be something or someone that you're not. And that's the essence of hypocrisy, isn't it? It's a show. It's saying, putting out, giving the appearance of one thing while the inner reality is something else altogether. So when it comes to love, we are to be without hypocrisy. Don't play act at it. Don't pretend like you love. Really love. Don't play at love. Don't give the illusion or appearance of love. Genuinely love. Love must be sincere. For real. Who you really are. And I would suggest, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's really not who we really are, it's who God really is. It's the love of God in us, isn't it? So let the love of God in you love others. It's interesting that when Paul brings up this subject here of love, previous to this we saw that he was talking about service and spiritual gifts. So here he's mentioning, we talk about surrender and renewal. And then he talks about service and spiritual gifts. And from spiritual gifts and service, he immediately goes to love. Now, can you think of another place in the Scriptures where Paul followed that pattern, speaking of spiritual gifts, and then he talks about love? Where else did he do that in the Scriptures? 1 Corinthians, right? Remember what he did? 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts, which then leads into that famous passage in 1 Corinthians 13. About love. Remember, in the situation in Corinth was it was the, again, the poster child of dysfunctional churches. If you could have a problem with the church, it was probably going on in Corinth. And so 1 Corinthians is all about Paul's efforts to correct them, answer their questions, and correct these problems that were going on in their church. One of the biggest problems is that they simply didn't truly love one another. And that fact was being demonstrated by all of these problems that they were having, like division, arrogance and rudeness, all of these things, because they didn't truly love, and they were, instead of using their spiritual gifts to serve one another and build one another up, they were a source of pride and saying, look what I can do, look who I am. And so that's why he says, he discusses spiritual gifts, why God has given them, what their real purpose is. And then he says, now, love then, says what? If you don't have true love, you can have all these wonderful gifts and abilities and all that, but if you don't love, it's all what? Worthless. It's nothing. So love, real deal, genuine, without hypocrisy, no play acting, sincere love. Okay, well, if our love is to be sincere, I don't know about you, I need a little help fleshing that out a little bit. I need to be told what real deal, sincere, without hypocrisy love looks like. We said 1 Corinthians 13 is one passage where Paul has given quite a bit of detail about that love. But I'd like us here this morning to focus on four features of sincere love that are described for us in verses 9 and 10 right here. Some of these you'd say, oh, of course, yeah, that's about love, but I wonder if you had thought of other parts of this as being representative of what real deal genuine love is, but it certainly is. What is sincere love? What does sincere love look like? Well, first thing we see is sincere love hates evil. Sincere love hates evil. Now, I didn't say sincere love hates people who do evil things. Is there anyone in this room this morning who does evil things? I think all of our hands ought to be up, right? Sincere love doesn't hate people who do evil things. It hates evil. It hates those evil things. Why do you think God hates sin and hates evil? See, we're to hate evil because God hates evil. And why does God hate evil? Because evil destroys God's beautiful creation. And the crown of God's beautiful creation is you. People are the crown of God's beautiful creation. I mean, I think I look at the earth, the physical earth he's created, the stars and all that, and even with the presence of sin in the world, it's breathtaking how beautiful God's creation is, isn't it? But as wonderful and beautiful as all of that is, the pinnacle of God's creation is you, because you are created in his image. Created to know him and love him. And what does evil do? What does evil do to you? What does evil do to me? What does it do to God's creation? This is why God hates evil, because of how it ruins and destroys the good and the beautiful. Have you seen someone, a family member, a loved one, a dear friend? Have you seen that person get overcome by evil? See what that does to that person? Don't you hate that evil then because of that? You don't hate that person, but you hate that evil because you see what it does to that person you love and care for so much. So real, sincere love, it hates the evil in us, but it hates what evil does to others. It hates what rebellion and disobedience does, not only to that person, but to families and churches, communities, nations. Sincere love hates evil. Don't you know it doesn't stop there, though? It says we're to hate the evil. If we really love people, we're going to hate evil because of what it does. We're going to do something else, and we're going to cling. We're going to cling to what is good. Sincere love clings to what is good. If we're hating evil and distancing ourselves, putting evil away from us, fighting against it in ourselves and others, then we need to cling or to hold on to something else. What is the opposite of evil? It's the good. And the good, of course, is ultimately God's character and God's nature. Interesting thing is this word that is translated, cling to what is good, it literally, you could translate it as this, it's literally be married to it or be wedded to it. You know, Scripture says that a man leaves his father and mother and then he cleaves to his wife or clings to his wife. It's that same concept here for good. We need to be married to good. Holding on to that and clinging to it, as we saw, holding on for dear life from the message, right? Real love hates the evil, but clings to and holds on for dear life to the good. The good is God's word and God's truth, clinging tightly to that. By the way, there's some question on this. You know, this love, this sincere love, is Paul talking about love for other Christians, or is this just for anyone? Well, I would suggest that genuine, sincere love is for everyone, right? That we're to love everyone genuinely and sincerely. But the focus here is on one another as believers. Talking about it's here in the church, in the family of God. Practice sincere, real love with one another. Hate evil. Cling to what is good. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, that mysterious passage there where it says that love does not rejoice or delight in evil, but what? Rejoices in the truth. It's the same thing. If we really love people, we're not going to delight or rejoice in evil or what's wrong, but rather we're going to rejoice and delight in the truth, in goodness. Hate evil, cling to what is good. And then it says sincere love then too is devoted. It is devoted to one another. As you know, there were four different words which the Greek language had to refer to love. There is agape, the one we're most familiar with. And that agape is what? That's that unconditional love. It's God's love. But there is philia, that is the love of a friend. There is eros, that is that passionate romantic love of husband and wife. And then there is storge, the one we don't hear as much about, and that is a family love, like the love of a parent for a child. Now, which word do you suppose of agape, philia, eros, and storge, the family love, which word do you suppose is used here when it says we're to be devoted to one another in love? It's that family love. The family love. In other words, as believers in Christ, we're to be like, well, we are a family, is the body of Christ. Now, some of us, with the families that we come from, you say, we are a family, that might mean something negative for you. Maybe you think about, boy, we didn't have it so good in my family, or maybe it's not so good right now. But when you think about a family, what a family is supposed to be, That's the kind of love and family that the church then is to embody. Unfortunately, sometimes the church resembles our families of origin, which aren't so good, right? No, but the church is to be that truly sincere, loving family because we're called, what, sons and daughters of God? Jesus himself is our brother. And we as believers in Jesus are called, what, brothers and sisters. So we are a church family of brothers and sisters in Christ. And this sincere love means then that we are going to be devoted to one another in that love. We are given to loving one another as family. Hate the evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. And then finally, then honor. To honor. The real love honors one another. Essentially, we could translate this literally. It's like you know, honor one another, and the sense of the text is trying to outdo one another in honor. In other words, trying to one-up. Do you know anyone who likes to one-up you? Or always has to be the one who has to, and in a former life in corporate America, there was someone in the company that had a reputation for, he always had to be, no matter what someone said or what someone did, whatever what story they told, he always had a better story about what he did or someone he knew that was always better than the story you told. You know somebody like that? Always trying to one-up or always trying to be better than you are. Or how about if you told a story, you know, and someone says, oh, well, that's nothing. Let me tell you what happened to me or what I did or what I know. Always one-upping. And you know what? That's actually the sense of this text here, of this verse, when it says that we are to be to honor one another. It says, be devoted to one another, but brother love. Honor one another above yourselves is always be trying to one-up the other. It's like, oh yeah, you're going to honor me and put me before yourself? Well, you wait and see how I'm going to honor you and put you before me. That's the idea here. Trying to one-up the other in lifting the other up above yourself. Oh, you think that I'm more important than you? Ha! You're more important than me. Watch. We don't usually do that, though, do we? Honor, to put another person before yourself. So sincere love, not play-acting love, not hypocritical love, but real-deal, genuine love, hates evil, does not delight in or tolerate that which is so harmful and destructive to a person, to a family, to a church, to a community. It hates it, but what is it? But it clings. It's married to the good. It loves and clings to. It's married to the good. Is devoted to one another. Like, hey, we're in this together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we honor one another. We put the other before ourselves. In fact, we're even trying to outdo one another in honoring. This is sincere love. Now, there's much more that could be said on love, and we're going to have a lot more to say about it in the upcoming verses here that we'll look at. But for today, I just have one simple question. I'm sure you appreciate that when I do that. I say one simple question that really isn't so simple, is it? But I'll just say one question, a few words. Is your love sincere? Is your love the real deal? Are you play-acting at loving one another in the body of Christ? Or are you really loving? How do you know? Well, it's a love then. Real love is in conformity with God's word, isn't it? And right here, we know we're really loving if we hate the evil and are clinging to the good, that we're devoted to one another and we're honoring one another. That's one test for us this morning. Is your love sincere? Let's pray. Lord, I need you. I do not have the capacity to love others as Jesus has loved me. But what I do have, Lord, is the gift and the enablement of the Holy Spirit and your love in me. So God, I confess, and we confess, that we fall woefully short of the standard of love in and of ourselves. But we're thankful that you've given us the Spirit, that you've given us your love. Lord, confess us for those times when we have been hypocrites, play-acting at love, using the word, saying we really love one another, but then acting in a way that is contrary to real love. Teach us, Lord, to truly love one another. Just as Christ has loved us, may we love one another truly and sincerely. Teach us, Lord, to hate the evil, not to tolerate it, but to hate the evil because of what it does to your creation, your good creation. Teach us, Lord, to cling to the good. May we be a family of God here, truly devoted in love to one another and honoring one another above ourselves, seeking, Lord, to outdo one another in honor. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. May Jesus Christ be honored in this, his body. And we pray in his name. Amen.